This is Mahalini's Voices of the Soul, your journey to inspiration, connection, and transformation. I'm Jane Mahalini Haridats, your guide through stories of remarkable people from all over the world who are ready to tell their life story to uplift and elevate your journey. Let's begin this magical journey right now. If we meet someone, we often know more about their achievements and their very impressive titles. But we hardly know anything about the person behind all those titles and all those achievements. And today, we want to uncover the soul behind those achievements and to delve into the personal stories and the driving forces that made our remarkable guests the persons that they are today and what they are doing today. And today we are going to listen to their soul and inspire you all with a lot of insights. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Mahalini's Voices of the Soul. I'm Jane Mahalini Haridats. I'm a multidimensional medium, a teacher, healer of sacred sexuality and soul embodiment. I'm the writer of the book, Make Peace with Your Origin. And in Mahalini's Voices of the Soul, we aim to delve into the heart and soul of our remarkable guests from all over the world. And I'm always excited to do it, to meet them and to meet their soul. And today we are thrilled and privileged to have Cesar R. Espino. So I'm very curious to know the second one, the second name, the R. Cesar R. Espino from LA with us as we explore his journey beyond his all the impressive things he is doing, his achievements. So, and after migrating from Mexico, Cesar, to the US, right? Yeah. So welcome.
Jane, thank you again for this invitation. I'm super excited to be here with you and definitely dive in and share some of my live experiences and really, as you mentioned, my humble beginnings and my journey of coming here. So I'm definitely appreciative of being here today.
Yes, yes, you're most welcome, and just for everyone to know, I would like to share how Cesar and I met. We met in the Global in Brains magazine. It's a digital global community where we both contribute the world with our beautiful articles and so much more, right? With our podcast and so much more. And just a few months ago, I was a speaker myself on Cesar's wonderful podcast, very uplifting podcast, You Can Overcome Anything. And where he gave me all the space, a very safe space that I needed to explore very sensitive topics like sexuality after a sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And you did it very respectfully, Cesar. So I'm very happy that we had that podcast. And that was also a reason for me to invite you on my podcast, because I know that, sharing our personal stories is helping and uplifting the world. And I truly believe that that is what the world needs right now, to share the love.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with you on that, for sure.
Yeah. So do you, I'm very curious. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of research. And do you by chance, or maybe I'm surprising you with this question, but do you by chance know what your name Espino means?
You know what? Yeah, you definitely are surprising with that question. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. At one point, I was trying to kind of like, go back and see, okay, where does that come from? Where does that derive? Is it from Spain? Or, obviously, as many will say and think, Mexico was conquered by Spain. So I'm thinking, well, I might have some Spaniard in my blood and maybe that the name comes from there. So anyways, I never got nowhere with that. I didn't research enough to find out exactly where that comes from.
You know that the word Espino means in English, it means hawthorn. That's the Mayflower.
Yeah.
And I'm going to share because I read more about it. And it's so beautiful. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautifully connected to the work you're doing, because I truly believe that every name has its own special symbol, has its own special meaning. And
Right.
I'm just going to read it, what I found out. The name Hawthorn was originally applied to the species native to Northern Europe. So, and also Asia and North Africa. And I discovered also it was being used. It is still being used because the Dutch word for Hawthorn is Meidoorn. Meidoorn. And it is a herb. It's a healing herb. It is being used to treat many diseases like heart diseases, high blood pressure, diabetes, and also to calm the body, mind, spirit from anxiety and stress. These are just a few examples. If you read more about it, this is a long list, of all
Wow.
the of possibilities. So you have an important name, Caesar.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting. You're the second person that I've heard say this, and that's names do matter, right? And there's always a meaning attached to that. And sometimes the names that we have do resemble more or less what you're doing in your life. And sometimes you find that there's a disalignment between your name and what you're actually providing into the world. So you got to be able to figure out how to make that work. And I've seen it where. I mean, people had names that didn't really have a powerful meaning, yet their soul, their purpose was more powerful that they say, you know what? After learning this, I'm going to change my name to something that actually represents the things that I'm doing, because again, that's what I'm trying to portray versus whatever the name might mean, right?
Yeah, it is wonderful. It is, and my name Mahalini is it is a spiritual name that's a gift being given. And it was being I think in 2019, I was during a healing. I was getting a healing session myself, and then a spirit started to talk with me. And then they told me, now today we are going to give your name, and that's Mahalini. And they said Mahalini means the greatest self. So the power of Mahalini is that I'm helping people to discover their own greatness inside, the
I love that.
greatest within. It's beautiful, right? It's
Yeah, it
really
is.
beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. So yeah, I know. I thought, this will be, I think that this will be a surprise for him.
Definitely.
Yeah. And let me share now a short bio about you, Caesar, just to introduce people into your world. So Caesar R, and what is the R?
So it's Roman, 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 or in
Roman,
Spanish,
okay. Caesar
Roman.
Roman. So Caesar was, I think he was
The
sorry.
conqueror,
Yeah, he was a
he,
con, yeah.
the emperor of Rome. So it's
Yes,
like that's
yes.
what I kind of relate Roman or Rome, and then Caesar to Caesar. So I'm like, I'm probably living him in this world.
Isn't that funny? Okay.
Yes, it is.
So Caesar Roman Espina was born in Mexico City when the country had one of the largest foreign debts and was going through a financial crisis. Not only was he born into a poor family, but he was also born to just one parent, his mom, and never met his biological father. As a kid, Caesar lived with his grandmother, mom, and older brother, living in a room, or what he called his house, that was just about 200 square feet. This place has no running water, no floor. He lived and slept directly on top of dirt with no insulation, and the house was made of sheet metal and plywood. He lived in this house holding four of them until he was just a few months to 4 years old. Around this time, his mom took the leap of faith. She left her family behind and migrated to the United States to chase the American dream and support her family across boundaries. This became a pivotal moment in Caesar's life, as this forced him to start working at an early age at four, just to survive and put some food on the table. Throughout his life journey, he has overcome many different obstacles. Today, Caesar Roman Espino's passion is to empower, educate, and inspire many through his experiences and life lessons. Caesar holds a master's in business administration, boasts extensive experience with global corporations, and authored You Can Overcome Anything, Even When the World Says No. He co-authored Dare to Be Authentic. And now I'm going to do my best to read the Spanish title. Okay.
Yeah.
Please correct me if I'm wrong. Puedes superar cualquier cosa incluso cuando el mundo dice no.
You did perfectly fine.
Ah,
Yes.
help. Yes, I'm happy. And How We Became Entrepreneurs, Follow Your Leads, which is number one book among other publications. Additionally, he is a real estate investor, mentor, and host of the podcast show You Can Overcome Anything. So, yay, great
Yeah.
to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
Thank you for that introduction.
but most importantly, what you're doing, and this is what you said, you know, you are a son, you are a father, and you are a grandfather.
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely. And thank you for that. And definitely just to kind of give your audience a little bit more about my background. You kind of sum it up there, except again, for me, my life, even now, when I think about the things that I'm going through right now and I've been through, it always takes me back to who I was born, right? And how I was born. And it takes me back to those beginnings where I didn't really have anything. And I remember, to this day, by the way, I still don't know my biological father or his name or anything to that nature. And it, quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. The point though is that growing up and in that environment and not being able to have that, and then having your mom, chase that American dream, when I was barely, 3 4 months of being four. A lot of things happened, right? The first thing is, well, back then I didn't recognize that. I didn't see it. And I was thinking to myself, what happened here? Why is my mom leaving me? I don't have a father. My mom leaves me. Then you have that sense of abandonment, right? And then I'm here and say, okay, fine. Now is my grandmother who I see as Mia Ma or my mom, because she really, I grew up with her and I had so much attachment to her. And then my older brother. So it was like, all right, it's the three of us. And for us, although my mom was in the picture in terms of providing whatever financial support she could to our family, in my eyes at that age it was like, no, it's only the three of us. This is it. There's nobody else. And for a good moment, that was my life. And not only being able to do that is being able to understand that now I have to work to be able to put food on the table. And one thing that I really appreciate about my grandmother is that she was a firm believer of education. And so, unlike many other families that probably go through this too, is we she didn't stop us from going to school. She said, no, you, as a matter of fact, you got to go to school. Go to school, come back from school, and do your homework. Except again, we had a very, I would say, very disciplined type of a life where we couldn't come out of school and hang out with the friends, hey, let's go play soccer or let's do something fun. It was literally right after school, come to the house, do our homework, and then immediately we had to start working on whatever we were doing at that time. And any time that we deviated from that, I would get a whooping, right? Because again, we didn't have that. And so, although I don't condemn any kid to start working at an early age, I do know the things that I went through, and I also do know that the reasons why my grandmother was so strict with us. And again, when we didn't behave in terms of working or doing things, she would definitely bring out the belt or she'll bring out the shoe, whatever that might be, to put us straight. Because again, that was our life. There was times that we didn't have anything. And I said that we didn't have anything to eat except our. I laughed too because I really enjoyed. We had what I consider to be the Mexican specialty dish, which is really a tortilla with a grain of salt, and that's all we had for days in and days out. Except again, that was very fulfilling. We did a lot of stuff in the flea market, which we used to sell cookies, donuts, anything we can find. That was kind of what we did. And at one point, I say we graduated from that because we're not making enough money, that my grandmother decided to buy three sewing machines, one for each one of us. And so I know how to sew. So anybody that is looking for a Halloween costume, I can probably make one for next year. Nevertheless, I learned how to sew at an early age. And so I had my sewing machine. And again, I remember those very long nights after coming from school, doing our homework, sewing. We used to do clothing for dolls, right? And we used to do them on the volume because the more we did, the more we'll get paid, right? And so I remember very long nights, flipping those things, cutting the threads, sewing that stuff, and then having this like 50-gallon plastic bags full of clothes. And because we didn't have transportation, right, we didn't have a car, we'll have to go on the bus about an hour and a half away from where we live to be able to deliver that to the factory and for us to get paid. Luckily, we never got robbed, which is very good, because if that would have been the case, like there goes a whole month or 2 or 3 months worth of work. And again, and so that was my upbringing. And again, I think there's a lot of lessons that I've learned from that. And I believe that the person that I am right now is because who I was before. And I never forget about that. And so I think that's a huge lesson. And it wasn't until the age of 10 that I came to the States.
Okay, yeah,
That's
that would be my next question. So you entered the States at the age of 10. So in between, and you didn't see your mother in between 6 months, 6 years, or did she return to Mexico?
I did once she had the ability, when she had her papers, because obviously she migrated to the States illegally. When she was able to have her papers, she did go to Mexico a couple of times, maybe two or three times the most. And then I remember the first time that she came, I was 7. So she came at 7, which is an interesting story too, by the way. I'll give you the quick overview of that. She came when I was 7, and she said, "I'm gonna take you guys to the States." To the three of us, right? My grandmother, my older brother, and I, we're gonna go to the States, and we're gonna go have fun and do all this great stuff. And to me, it was like, okay, I was excited. To be honest with you, I was very excited because I'm like, all right, fine. Although I got reunited with my mom, it's like there was that emptiness, right? From the time that I was 4 to 7, still 3 years, right? Either way, I was excited just because I was gonna explore something different. So we came to the States, mind you. We didn't have papers, right? So I literally crossed the border illegally. My older brother, my grandmother, and I, at the age of 7, we got a human smuggler or a coyote, what they call them, and we were and they smuggled us into to the States. We were able to get into the States. Luckily, back then, I guess at that moment there was not so much immigration security that we're able to literally cross overnight, like one day over the next, right? And just like the movies, we're definitely hiding under bushes and kind of ducking and things like that, because that's exactly the reality. We went through that, and so we got here, and I'm like, awesome. And so for the first time in my life, I didn't have to worry about working. For the first time in my life, I actually had nice shoes, nice clothes. If you look at some of the pictures that I have from the past, it looks like I was wearing like a Halloween costume, or my clothes was like right out of the trash. Because in reality, that's what it was. It was actually my clothes. It wasn't trash. That's how I lived. Except for the first time, I have matching shoes with my brother, matching clothes. I didn't have to worry about working. I was living as a kid for the first time in my life.
And
Here's
that
the
was at
thing
the
that.
age of 10. That was at the age of 10.
That was at the age of 7. At the age of 7, when the first time I came,
And then
And so we were here for 2 months and 3 months, and it's like that Disney story, right, or that fairy tale that overnight that dream comes to an end, because before I knew it, we were heading back to Mexico. And even to this point, in my very first book, I talk about it, and I don't understand the concept of why, after we went through all of that, after we were smuggling to the US, after we crossed illegally, why are we going back? And the only answer that I've been able to find to this point is that my mom said, "Well, I wanted you guys to finish your school, your elementary school in the U in Mexico." And that's the reason why we had to go back. And so I went back to reality. I went back to work, and I went back to not having anything. I went back to like, all right, it was just a dream, because exactly that's what it was. And so that happened at the age of 7. And then for the next 2 years, I was in Mexico. My mom finally comes back at the age of 10 and said, "We're going to the US." But this time I wasn't too excited, because I already knew what happened the first time. And we went and we came back, and I said, "Well, yeah, I'm excited. At the same time, I don't believe it. I don't know if this is actually going to be true." Well, definitely it was. We came. This time was a little bit harder. It took us about 2.5 weeks to cross the border. I saw things that any kid should not see, from people being rape from just the, it was interesting. I talk about it in my book, the people that are supposed to protect you,
Yes.
so-called protect you
Okay.
and transfer you or smuggle you to the States are the same people that are harming you or raping or doing all these things or not even giving you food to survive. We were for almost about a week, 7 days, we were in this enclosed room because we couldn't go out because there was a heavy immigration. Except they were not again feeding us, and people were being raped. It was really bad. And so, anyways, after 2.5 weeks, we finally crossed the border, and that's when I came here. And so that's a whole new story and a lot of lessons that were learned there. And so that's when I migrated to the States at the age of 10, illegally, for the second time.
Yes. And how was it for you? How was it for you, just to be on school? Because I don't think that you could already speak English, right? You were speaking Spanish, and it was the
Yeah.
very first time in a total foreign country. Okay, you had met, you were already there for 2 months, so you were a little bit familiar, but still going to
Yeah.
school, getting your education in a different language, in a foreign language. How was it for you? Just
Yeah,
to be
and definitely
there.
was a difference. It was the difference between when I came at the age of 7 to the time that I came when I at the age of 10, because at the age of 7, we're kind of talking about this. I came as a tourist. I was doing all the touristy stuff, going to Disney and Magic Mountain, all these different places, right? And I was with my family. When I came to the age of 10, it was different because now I was like really a resident and I was living here. I was mingling and dealing with other people in school. And so there was a lot of lessons that came off of that. Number one, it was very challenging to be in a school for the first time in my life, at least. I would say that I was part of a group of ethnicities. There were so many different ethnicities, all the different kinds of people from all over the world. Where in Mexico, all you have is Mexicans, right? Here, it was all different kinds of people, and not being able to understand the language. So there was definitely a lot of bullying, in that sense, to an extent, just because I couldn't communicate. The one thing is that I was a fighter, and I would never stand down. And I got into a lot of fights. I would fight a lot in elementary just because I wanted to defend myself. Nevertheless, there was people that were trying to bully me because of that, and I didn't let them, for sure. And then the other thing too is just I felt out of place. I felt I didn't belong. I feel like this was not my life. As a matter of fact, not only that, I also felt that my mom and who I see as my dad now, who's my stepdad, the person that my mom married, I didn't recognize him. It was like, this is not me. My family is my grandmother and my older brother. And after being here for a couple of months or a year, my grandmother decided to go back to Mexico. And to me, I felt that sense of abandonment again. Okay, my mom left me at the age of 4. Now my grandma, who I see as my mom, is leaving me. I feel like out of place. The only person that I had at that moment was my older brother, who I grew up with. And one of the things that happened then during that time is I remember one time my stepdad, my dad, he went to give me a haircut and all that, and I was arguing with him. I just didn't feel, content. I was out of place. And I remember telling this my step that I said, first of all, you're not my father. You cannot tell me what to do. And I don't belong here. Why don't you just send me back to Mexico? And I got to tell you, I'm glad he didn't, or we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? Except I was so angry at the world, at him. I had anger issues, to be honest with you. I was so angry at everything because it's like, I don't belong here. And then one of the other lessons that came off of that, though, is that at one point, after not being able to understand the language, I recognized, well, my parents are not going to send me back. This is it. I'm staying here. So then what I did is I surrendered. Now, I didn't surrender to give up. I surrendered to understand. I surrendered to accept my new beginning.
And how old were you at the time?
I was about 12.
12, 12,
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. So I surrendered. And then the other thing came to the other big lesson that came off of that is that I said, you know what? I was uncomfortable being in this great nation. I was uncomfortable not having to work. I was uncomfortable having a different lifestyle. I wanted to go back to Mexico to being comfortable being poor, to being comfortable to having to work, to being to what I was accustomed to. And so sometimes that's a lesson that I took. And many times we as people, even as adults, we have to recognize those lessons that sometimes we have to be uncomfortable on a place where you don't recognize. I didn't recognize this lifestyle. I was used to being poor, not having to work, all that stuff. I was comfortable with that, except that didn't serve for me. and I need it to be uncomfortable. Sometimes we got to be able to step away from that comfort zone and be uncomfortable with ourselves to be able to move to the next level. So that was a big lesson for me that I recognize now in this age.
Yeah. And what did you do just to embrace the life that you had here in that you had in the US, you know, just to overcome? How was it? How, because you have a lot, you managed to achieve a lot of things. And how did you do that?
Yeah. So again, the biggest thing was,
accept? Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest thing was to surrender, to understand, to be in acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. To say, you know what, this is going to be my new norm. So mm-hmm. let's embrace that. And so within 2 years, I became very, I studied a lot and I became a schoolboy. And so within 2 years, I was able to communicate. I was able to write, read the language, and I started, you know, making friends. And so by the time I was 12, 13, I was able to communicate, you know, going into middle school, as a mm-hmm. matter of fact, was probably one of the best years of my education, because mm-hmm. I was an A straight student. I was in community service. I was volunteering at the cafeteria. I made so much friends. I got all these awards. I got the opportunity to also speak and give a speech at my graduation when I was going from middle school to high school. So mm-hmm. I got very involved with a lot of different things. And one thing that I chose was that I decided we all have two choices, I think, especially people that come from other countries, right? Mm-hmm. At an early age. We have two choices. The choices are very simple, yet very difficult to make. One choice is that you can stay in this lane where you have to be truthful to yourself, educated. You have to definitely go with the punches, except you're going to follow this path and this journey that at the end, there's the light of to the tunnel. Then there's this other path, which happens a lot here, and I'm sure it happens a lot in many different states, is that the path of, well, you don't feel like you're loved and you have the abandonment or you need that community. So what happens? You join a gang, a tagging crew. Mm-hmm. You decide not to study. You decide to go that route. I never took that route. I decided not to go there. And I was tempted many times because, you know, you see it, you live it every day. Yeah. Except I decided not to go that lane. I never been involved with any of the gangs or drugs for that matter. Mm-hmm. I decided to go through this lane and use that as my vehicle. And so I think that's part of it is again, we have the ability to make choices. And I do believe that the choices and the decisions that you make today will determine the quality of life that you have tomorrow. And if you're making a choice or a decision that is not serving you, you also have the ability to pivot and make a different choice. Yes. And so as I see that, it's like, yeah, this is mine. This is mine. Except, like anything else, I was going through a lot of challenges, and the reason why my first book is called "You Can Overcome Anything, Even When the World Says No,"
mm-hmm.
is because I feel like from the moment that I was born, the world was telling me you're not good enough, you're not gonna be able to make it, mm-hmm. you're gonna be born to this world with not having a father, your mom is gonna leave you, you're gonna migrate twice to the States, you're gonna be bullied, like all these different things, society, the world is telling me no. Except I was resilient enough to keep moving forward. And then right before I went to high school, the unexpected happened, okay, for me. Mm-hmm. At the age of 15, I was dating this girl, okay, mm-hmm. and I got her pregnant, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? Again, here's another sign where the world might be saying no, right? Like, oh, now you're a failure, because that's what people were telling me. It's like, you're not going to ever do anything. You're having a kid at an early age, mm-hmm. like, that's it. You're ruining your life, right? Mm-hmm. I was telling to myself, like, I've been in the States just 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. 15 and a half. That's when she got pregnant. I've been in the States only 5 years. And I'm a kid who's about to have a kid. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that, right? Mm-hmm. And so my daughter was born when I was 16. And mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, one thing that I remember telling my daughter's mom at that moment is, I said, I promise you that our daughter is not going to have to worry or work as hard as I did as a kid. My promise to you is I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to take care of my daughter. Mm-hmm. And at least I did that promise, you know, I've been taking care of my daughter since. And I make sure that my daughter had the lifestyle, a different lifestyle, that she didn't have to worry about working at an early age, that she didn't have to worry about not having certain things. And so I made that, instead of breaking me, I made that my mission to keep me going and moving forward in life, which I did. And I also was I had a lot of AP classes in high school. I was very educated. I was working very hard. I would get up around 6 o'clock, take an hour bus to go to school, go be at school from 7:30 to about 2:30, take another hour bus to go to work, and then work from like 3 o'clock to about 11:30, take an hour bus to come home, do my homework, and do that again. And I did it over and over and over and over again, and it was challenging.
It is challenging, but you know, just when I hear you talking, I get that image again for of you sleeping on the dirt. So what is so beautiful by sleeping on the dirt, Caesar? You just left the dirt, you grew through the dirt, right? You just transformed the dirt with all the painful stuff, you know, all the life lessons. And you became Caesar, you became the conqueror. Right? That is so if we look at all those symbols, all those beautiful symbols in your life, you know, and all the life lessons, and what do you think that would have happened when the world said yes, and that you had been born in a different surrounding? You know, if you just reverse it, what would have happened?
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought about that. And I think the reason why I never thought about that is because I do believe that we are who we are because of our past, right? And another thing to that is a lot of people tend to live in the past. And I'm not saying that's a negative thing. What I'm saying is here's my best relationship advice. My best relationship advice is make sure that you don't cheat on your future with your past. Okay. And what I mean by that is that our past should be merely an educational experience. We have to be able to extract those lessons from the past and utilize them to serve us now in the present for our future, as opposed to living in the past and always thinking about the past and forgetting about today or tomorrow. And so I believe that would my life had been different? For sure, if I would have been born into a wealthy family and maybe had a father figure, and maybe had, you know, all these different things, yeah, I think it would have been different. Yet I don't think I would have changed it, because I really believe that we all come here for a reason, and we got to be able to understand what that reason is. And while a lot of people do not get the chance to really explore that and or really dive into that, the people that do can make bigger and greater breakthroughs. And that's where I think I am. That I think that's my journey.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. That is also the intention behind my question, because can we see the dirt as the gemstones, as the gemstones that make you grow and become the diamond that you are today?
And
Because
a lot of
if you
times,
already, yeah, because it is the surrounding, just as you said, right? Just as you said, because it is because of the past. And can you also say, because I truly believe that we are choosing our whole scripts, the parents that we, I truly believe that's the soul journey, that I chose the family, coming from a family of 12 siblings, abuse, all these kind of things, violence, but yet parents who stayed married for 62 years. And the moment that my mother died, my father couldn't live anymore, and in 25 days he was dead too, although they were fighting. So the bond of love, the soul bond, is still there, right? So, and thinking about all the things that I was going through, I thought, okay, it gave me a lot of peace and also a lot of resilience, you know, and all these kind of wonderful values to understand that my soul has chosen the whole family constellation with all the hurdles, with all the events happening, because of the life mission, because all the lessons that I wanted to learn to become me, to become Mahalini. I'm just hearing to become Mahalini again. And that is, you know, I find it, you know, this is a similarity that I discover in your life story, coming from the dirt, and now look where you are. Growing through the dirt to the diamond that you are now, right? Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me?
100%, 100%, and going back to that, you know, if you're I see it too. Like even again, with I have a younger brother, right? And he was born here in the States. And while my family is not wealthy, we were born in two different environments, right? If you want to put it that way. And I was born in Mexico. He was born in the States. And I can see the difference between, kind of going back to that. Like if I'm looking at the dirt and looking at that surface, the way I see it, and I know that there's diamonds in there. I gotta dig it. The way he might see it is like, no, I'm okay. I'm in the States. I'm good. It's a different dynamics. And so while people might be born in a different circumstances, right? Sometimes because they're born in that circumstances, they cannot see what somebody else can see. Again, even in that idea of, the diamonds are underneath. You gotta scrape them, you gotta look for them, you gotta search them, and they're there. Except because you were born in this environment, sometimes you don't see that. And that's not everybody. Of course, there's people that are born in this and they really dig in, except the majority of us are not. And I see it with my brother, I see it with a lot of people that I've met that were born here, or were probably a bit more privileged, if you want to put it that way, versus the way I was, except there's the difference, right? And so I do believe that that there's a divine aspect there, and we got to be able to find that. And we again, it goes back, going back to what I said, the decisions we make is we're right in our script, right? And so while yeah, we might be guided by God or the universe or a bigger power, whatever people believe in, that's fine. You're utilizing that to guide you. At the end of the day, is you walking through that? Is you making that decision? Is you taking those steps? And I made so many of those.
Sorry, it is the decision of the soul when you are aligned, right? When you're aligned with the higher source or with life, and when you're connected with your heart and not only living from the mental state of mind, only the mental part, then it's if it's all aligned, then even when the life is tough, just to accept it as tough, but don't remain the victim, but become the conqueror. And just to, just to overcome it and see all the gems. And one moment you're feeling ugly and angry, but also it can be, but from all the ugliness, all the beauty is coming out. It's beautiful,
And to your point of you don't be the victim, be the conqueror. I mean, I can tell you that when my daughter was born, I was still illegal in the States. I didn't have the means, and so I had to figure out, okay, what can I do to make things happen? So my dad used to deliver newspaper LA Times in the morning, like at 2, 3 in the morning. And I said, let me help you and just pay me cash, right? So I actually started doing paper routes with my dad to be able to bring in money because I couldn't work legally in the States. And that was another source for me to be able to get money. So while I was working doing that, I was still going to school and taking care of my daughter so that I can make the money. And it wasn't until probably the age of I think it was about 17 or so that I finally got my work permit to be able to work legally in the States. And then, obviously from there on, it was there a different ballgame. Except again, we got to be able to adjust when you have the vision or the mission, right? You got to be able to adjust to be able to support. And in my case, it was my daughter. How can I make that work?
Yeah, wonderful, right? We all there is there's a beautiful force, there is a beautiful drive inside, and life is giving also a lot of drives, just to make use of it, just to use it as a wonderful reason to how do you call it, to get into the greatness of things and just to make your life better. And you're talking about the missing of your father. So until now you don't know your father, your biological, you don't know who he is. So okay. And how was it for you? Because I know from experience from my environment that and also research that boys who miss their father, who are not being acknowledged, or even when they don't know their father, when the father is not there, sometimes they have difficulties with their masculinity. Sometimes they are, and how did it shape you?
Yeah,
How
that's actually a
did you
good
have a
question.
role model? Did you have a role model?
Yeah, that's a
Or
good
how did it
that's
shape?
a yeah, that's a really good question. And I remember somebody, I forget who it was, a friend of mine mentioned to me is like, the reason why I probably got my daughter's mom pregnant is because I didn't know better and I didn't have a father figure to tell me otherwise, right? And finding that the idea of having a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I haven't realized whether or not that's true or not. Nevertheless, that's one component that came off of that. I would say because my stepdad, my stepdad, he was in the picture since I was 7, right?
Okay, yeah.
And so I kind of grew with that father figure to an extent, and for sure now we're really good friends and we get along very well, and has been there since then. Except again, obviously growing up, I didn't see him as that, and I didn't think of anything of that. And even coming here when I was here on the States, again, I didn't feel like I belong. Even my mom is like, I don't really recognize you, kind of thing, right? And so I think because he was there, even though I didn't really see it and maybe didn't accept it to begin with, the fact that he was there guiding and helping and providing some sort of guidance didn't really create that major impact, because I do see him as my dad, right? And so I think that was good. Now if there would have been that missing element where I grew up to my teens or even to the point where I had my daughter without a father, I think that would have definitely done a lot of different things. The second thing too is I've always been back then, I'm not anymore. I really have worked a lot on myself. I was a very angry person, and they would always tell me, go to anger management classes. And part of that could be is because maybe I wanted to feel like, I'm the man, nobody can tell me anything, right? Because again, I didn't have that father figure. And so that could probably be part of that too, that those anger issues probably came off of the fact that I didn't have nobody to tell me otherwise.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah. And because not feeling wanted, not belong, the feeling of belonging somewhere, not in a bit of modern, not the, it is, it gives a lot of unsafe feelings. And safety. So yeah. So if you're coming from that background, that amazing, powerful background, because that's the way I look at it. So
Thank you. Yeah.
it how do you use it now to elevate the world?
Yeah, so it wasn't until my late 30s that I decided to kind of take a shift in my life, right? After finishing high school, graduating, going to college, I landed pretty good jobs. I was, I always been about going out and getting, a bigger result, right? And while I have a lot of different ups and downs during that career, in my personal life and my professional life, from losing jobs to ending relationship with my daughter's mom to like a lot of different things that happened in between, it wasn't until my late 30s that I said, you know what, I think I'm here for a different purpose, and I need to go out and find that purpose. So I started getting involved with kind of like self-development type of events, kind of working on myself. I ended up going in, and because I was going through a lot of challenges myself, and I called it my dark ages, not because I was doing drugs. I was just really not happy. I was overweight. I ended up losing myself. I ended up really losing myself to myself by eating whatever, being overweight, working long hours. I ended up losing a 10-year relationship because of other faults of my own. And so I was going through these dark ages, and I decided to join a couple of self-development events. And then I said, okay, I need to continue to work on myself, a lot of the different things. And so I started studying NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And I got certified. I'm certified as that. And I did it more so for me, not to really coach people, which I ended up coaching people, and I stopped because it wasn't for me. Nevertheless, I went through that to learn more about myself. And that's where a lot of the things came into fruition. And as you know, whatever you go through in the first 7 years of your life, if you don't work on those things, they're going to show up. And I didn't believe them until I actually went through it myself, because there was things that were coming up in my 30s that I'm like, where's this coming from? And until I started studying NLP and went back to my childhood and the abandonment and all these things that I went through, I'm like, okay, now I get it. I know where that came from. And so, long story short, I started working on myself. I get through the NLP to self-development. And once I found myself in a different place, I said, you know what? I'm here for a different reason. I gotta do other things. And that's when I came up with my very first book. And that's actually another lesson by itself, when I did my very first book, where I think a lot of people might be facing. And for me, it was the negative talk, the let me talk myself out of it. Like, I literally was so excited on getting my book, and then I would like you know, I had this moment with myself, and I said, and I literally was talking to myself, like, Caesar, like, who are you kidding? You're not a writer. Who's gonna want to buy your book? No one's gonna want to read it. Why even bother? Like, I literally was having this conversation with myself. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm not any of that. Like, why would I even bother doing this? Like, for what? And so I talked myself out of doing that. And the question here is, where else does that show up in our lives that we tend, that we want to do something? And because we are, we have the fear of the unknown or the disbelief of something, that we talk ourselves out of doing something.
Yes.
It wasn't until probably a month or two later where I went to another self-development event. And you know, I poured a lot of great information into my mind. I said, and I saw something there. I had been to this event many times, and I saw something this time that I didn't see last time. It's like when you see a good movie and you go back again and you like that movie, you go back again and you see something different you didn't see the first time. It was the same thing. I saw something, and here's the lesson on this, I think, is I said, you know what? So what if nobody buys my book?
Yeah.
So what if I don't sell anything?
Yes. Yeah.
What I did then, I said, let me look at it from a different perspective, with a different lens, with a different point of view.
Yes.
What if I do it for my self-accomplishment? I do it for me because I want this for me. It's not about anybody else. It's about me. What if I do this so that when the day that I die, my daughter can have something that she can remember me by?
Yeah.
What if I do this because somebody can get impacted by that?
Yeah, this is so beautiful that you're pronouncing this, because, you know, this is something that I also share too, and that I discovered is that we are not here for everybody else. We are here to, that is what I truly believe and discovered, we are only here to have our own experiences. And by our own experiences, you know, we are learning from each other. We are learning from each other. So it's so beautiful just to know, what if I only do it for my own experience, only for myself, and enjoying at the most.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the moment that when you're enjoying it at the most, I recognize myself in your story. When you're enjoying it at the most, you know, then people, you just attract without doing anything for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without making any effort, it is just becoming, the energy is flowing and people just want to buy it and to want to know more about you. Hey, Cesar, what are you most passionate about in life?
At this point, I would say I really enjoy helping people and seeing people succeed, right? And I do a lot of that. I do a lot of events. I do a lot of coaching and events. And when I see the breakthroughs, the things that people are going through, being able to understand their background and then being able to see them kind of flourish and grow. Mm-hmm. To me, I really enjoy that. And I think that's something that I want to be in, which is the people business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from that perspective, from that side of it, I guess the other side of what I'm passionate about is I love to travel. And so I definitely like to travel because, again, I also get the opportunity, and I think it goes hand in hand, I get the opportunity to see other cultures. I get the opportunity to see other parts of the world and see what people are going through. Because, again, I think that's, to me, is like, I cannot just live in this idea of that U.S. and it's all great and wonderful, you know, coming from Mexico and seeing that and being able to see other countries similar to Mexico. Or, you know, it's very nice to see that the different cultures, because I think we're all one kind, which is the humankind.
Yeah, that is true. And a lot of similarities, because it's the core. There are a lot of similarities, and all the diversity makes it one.
Yeah, right.
The diversity makes it one. It's oneness. And what are the things that you would like to do? Is there are on your bucket list? For example, for me, I still want to travel to see the Nordic Lights, you know, and sitting in with. And yeah, this is something that I would like to do. And also, again, swim with the whales. Again, I swam with the whales in the ocean. In Tonga or some, I already did it in 2005 on the Dominican Republic. So these are the things that are still on my bucket list. You know, just what are those things that you're saying, okay, I need to do that before I die?
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely, there's a couple of destinations that I want to go and see and explore. Egypt. I want to go to Thailand. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to kind of do places like that. I want to be able to start speaking in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that I really want to do. Like, I do it here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to make myself known and be able to speak important to people in different Spanish speaking countries. I think that's something that I definitely want to do. And I kind of began that journey and hasn't worked out just well. Nevertheless, I won't give up. So I want to be able to do that. And then more than anything, the one thing that I want to do, and I'm really working on getting that done in the next couple of years, is I want to retire my parents. I want to retire both my mom and my dad, and want to make sure that I'm the one. I'm the reason that they don't ha that their job optional. If they want to go to work, that's fine. That's on them, right? Except is job optional. It's three of us. I have an older brother, younger brother, and I'm the middle child, right? And I love them to death. They're really good people. Except I want to be selfish enough to be the one to say, "Hey, I did this for my parents," because I do owe it to them. They've
Yes.
been they supported me. They actually opened up their doors for me when my daughter was born, and my daughter's mom was kicked out of her house, and I have no place to go. She was, let into my house. So that's, I think, something major that I definitely want to do sooner than later, for sure. So yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot of being grateful, and honoring the ancestral lines, honoring the parents, because I truly believe that that's why I wrote a book too, Make Peace to Your Origin, because if we don't or honor our up how do you call the our roots, our parents, life is not going to be happy. And life is not going to happy. So, what is the thing that what in a few words, Caesar? What you like to give as a nugget to the? I know that you've shared a lot, but some inspiring words to for the people who are going to listen.
I learned this from my, I think it was Les Brown, and it really resonated with me, this message, and I think once you apply it, it makes a lot of sense. And it says, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. If you do what is hard, your life will be easy, right? And when I reflect on that and I think of that, it is true, right? It's easy for you to come home from a day of working 10, 12 hours and sit on the couch, eat pizza, and watch TV. That is easy to do. Except your life will be hard because you're always, not as maybe complaining, or you're always thinking like, "I cannot get ahead." There's some out of your life is hard, period. Except if you do what is hard, which is, you know what, I'm in the same scenario. I know I'm tired. I'm gonna come and work on my business, on my vision, on my strategy, on giving a better life. I'm gonna just push through. Before you know it, you're gonna leave that job probably, and or you're gonna have other ideas, and your life is gonna be easier, right? And it's the same thing, whether it's in health, in business, in relationships, in many different aspects. And so that's something that I've listened to, and I say, you know what, that makes a lot of sense when you really look deep down into that.
And so you thank you so much for sharing so very profound insights about your life experience. Where can people reach you?
Yeah, it's simple. You can actually just go to my website, Caesar, respino.com, and you can find anything regarding me there, or you can just Google my name, Caesar R. Espino, and you can find all my social media and things like that, and my books.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So this has been an amazing journey with Caesar, and sharing and listening to his story and sharing so many valuable and meaningful insights for all of us, just to feel more elevated, more uplifted. And I also would like to close with some inspiration. I have a few beautiful quotes. If you really want to experience joy and happiness in your life, then serve others unconditionally with all your heart. Lift their burden, and your own will be lighter. That is a universal law of attraction. And the other one, a healed inner child is the secret to unlocking an enduring happiness that springs from a heart unburdened by past wounds and pain.
I
It's
love
wonderful,
them.
right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It suits in the story that we have been sharing.
Yeah. No, they're amazing. I love them.
Thank you so much. And if you want to know more about me, just go to www.janehari.com and listen to all the podcasts and read all the beautiful articles. And the next episode will be, this episode will be published very fast. And the next one is coming up very soon too. Thank you, Caesar.
Thank you.